Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Well, yes, I am white. But it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price. But look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong. I am invincible. Invincible. I am one.
Krista, that was just for you. Only for you.
That was a fabulous flashback right there. That was awesome.
We were talking via text during the day. Hey, I want to play some of your favorite Pink stuff. I know you're a big Pink fan. And hey, I love Dua Lipa. And New Edition's coming to the arena. And I'm thinking about old school. And you mentioned Helen Reddy. I got to make the guest happy. And played it for you.
You know, well, I can honestly say I don't, she was definitely a little before my time, but obviously I think most people know that song. They know that she's the person that wrote it and sang it. And I think because of the 50th anniversary of Title IX, I just thought that might be kind of fitting. It's kind of a fitting mantra right there, don't you think?
Krista Blank, I totally do. Pac-12 Network, you folks know her from Westwood One, ESPN, the Olympic Games, which we'll get into in just a bit. Since you mentioned Title IX, what events have you seen that maybe mean a lot to you that may not have happened, without Title IX?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many, I mean, can you say all of them? I guess, and I know it's been tricky. It was brought in as an educational means more than anything, just for, back in early 70s, but, it definitely took, female athletics to a completely different level. And it's been a little controversial because of what has to give in order to have a little bit of both. And sometimes it doesn't feel even, I'm sure, on both sides. But wow, I'm watching gymnastics here. I'm in Salt Lake now based. And I mean, they sell out. And when I say sell out, there's no curtain up top. I mean, it is sold out. It is packed. And they are into it. And they're just amazing. And possibly without it, they wouldn't have a platform or have had a platform or, a balance beam to stand on, so to speak.
There was that gymnast from, I think, UCLA last year that caught the world by storm. I forget her name, but she had this floor routine that went viral. And it was super sexy. It was with Michael Jackson or something, but great dancer. That's what I like at the college gymnastics level. There's a little more, I guess, freedom to be and express yourself rather than it seemed to be like the Olympic gymnastics. So more rigid, more polished, for lack of a better word, a little more earthiness to the college gymnastics.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've watched her a million times and their name escapes me also, but this conference, the Pac-12, is so deep and so talented in that sport. That's just one of so many, but you think about other Olympic type sports, you think about those fringe sports that, that a lot of schools have started to add now, and then some of the schools were maybe going to take them away. And luckily they had people step forward and really fight for them. And not just women's sports even, but, some of the other sports that don't always, make a lot of money for the institution. So I think Title IX has helped obviously women's athletics, but it's helped just athletics as a whole find a way to expand and add teams on both sides.
Caitlin Ohashi is her name.
Yes. Yes.
Love her.
Good job. Good job.
I mentioned UCLA. Here's one for you. Old school. Ann Myers went to my high school and she went to a Sonora high school in La Habra. And so this is one of the pioneers of women's basketball. This is real old school. And I've had a chance to run into her over the years at college basketball games. And I mean, the presence of greatness there. I mean, that was Taurasi before Taurasi.
Oh, every chance I get to chat with her, she's really just something, just amazing. Love chatting with Ann Myers Drysdale. She'll give you the time, and she's so knowledgeable and just major, major pioneer and someone to look up to. That is for certain. And really, she's on that edge of Title IX came in, and thankfully, it was the right time for her to be able to play because it came in and she was right there ready to take off. And wow, it was just exciting to watch. She was something.
Yeah. I actually graduated with her younger sister. And so I'm familiar with the Myers family. And that's, she used to come back and play pickup with like the varsity guys and just kill us, you know, 'cause she was still, you know, really good back in the early 80s.
Absolutely.
Hey, since you mentioned Pac, she was going back to Pac 8 back when she was playing. Now we've got the Pac 12. What do you think of Stanford and their chances of making a deep run? They've won 15 in a row since the loss to South Carolina, and they blew an 18-point lead in that game.
You know, they've got a great chance of getting right back there. I would love to see that rematch. And that was one of the best games. It was an odd game in that they were, it seemed to be in control, but wow, South Carolina, you know, charged back. I'd love to see that rematch. I think it would be phenomenal. I think they have a chance of repeating. There's no doubt. I think they've missed Kiana Williams, and I think maybe a little more than you can anticipate. We knew she was great and an incredible leader for the team, but you feel like, oh, they've got a lot of depth and they have decent ball handlers, but you've kind of found out where they've hit a few hiccups at times, that they're really maybe missing that true point guard, that true leader. But gosh, they just have this ability with their depth. I mean, their bench players are starters for any other team, basically. And so depth is key, and they not only have depth, but they have talent at their depth. And so they've got an incredible chance. I think that they and South Carolina have separated themselves a bit. NC State's right behind them, but Louisville just showing they were capable of getting beaten the other day. So, you know, anything can happen, as you know, in tournament time. But I think that I think those two are kind of separated. I'd love to see that rematch.
You've been around the Pac-12 for so many years. Do you take it for granted how good Stanford is with Tara every year?
I try not to. I love chatting with her. I just love, you know, what's fun about Tara too. And it's funny, I was messaging with some of the ESPN folks the other day, back and forth. And, you know, she just walks over to the table. Hey, do you guys need anything? You know, you would think, oh, she must be back scribbling on a board or doing something, right? And she'll come out, watch warm up. She comes over, she'll chat about all kinds of stuff, because at that point they're ready, right? They're prepared. She's done all she needs to do. And now it's up to them, right, to make sure they get it done. And I love that she's so giving of her time. You know, she'll always just make time to chat with you and make sure you're good with what you need. You know,
I mentioned her giving nature with other coaches. I mean, she'll text. I remember when I was with Cal and Lindsey Gottlieb, she would text Lindsey after a big win. You know, she's got her own thing going. And then Lindsey gets a text from, you know, Tara Vanderveer at 10 o'clock at night. Hey, great win over Oregon State. You know, good job.
I know. I'm probably the most impressed with how connected she stays with so many teams, other coaches. She really does stay up. And I know that she has a lot on her plate. Her days must be pretty full, but she makes time. Somehow she finds time. She stays in her moment. She gets her workouts in. She, you know, swims with her Olympic friends and whatever she has to do, you know, and stays fit. And she just stays sharp on the game. And you're right. I mean, she can tell you what happened in a Warriors game, or she could tell you what happened in the conference as well. And it's really something to see the support that she gives. And it must mean so much to those other coaches as well.
And still plays piano, I think. I need to be well-rounded like that. Pretty amazing.
I know. She's multi-talented, that is for sure. That's for sure.
Hey, Krista Blunk with us. The biggest story in college basketball was this that happened in the Michigan-Wisconsin game.
Interesting finish here, 77. Oh, see, and they're going at it. Oh, yeah. Howard and Guard are not happy right now as the two of them continue to have words. We told you Juwan Howard was not happy about that timeout. Yo, and Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene. This is an ugly scene.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. The game's over. They're playing the music as the broadcast is signing off, and they're going at it on the court. What were your thoughts when you first saw the video?
I couldn't believe it. I'm trying to remember where I was. I might have been at the airport or somewhere, and I saw the footage. But I didn't have the audio. I didn't have the audio. I didn't know what had happened exactly. And I kind of saw it and thought, oh, wow, wonder what game that was. And then to see it and hear it. And I was really disappointed. It's not something that you want to see. And I'm a little bit surprised. I know that, you know, this is that time of year. It's coming down to the wire for teams. And there's a lot of pressure on these high level coaches and these programs. But it's disappointing. You don't ever want to see something get to that point. And it seemed like something that could have been talked about or talked through as opposed to handled the way it was. But, you know, heat of the moment, competitors, it's just things like that happen, but not good.
Is that a red line? You think, hey, don't call a timeout with 15 seconds left if your team's leading? Like, oh, that's inexcusable.
I don't think it is because of the circumstances, right? I think it depends. I'd say, obviously, if you're doing that. But for me, I heard what Juwan Howard said about, I didn't think that was respectful to my guys. And I thought, I don't understand what's disrespectful to that, in that, you know, because there were players that don't get a lot of playing time out on the court, you know, it was a teaching moment, but it was a teaching moment for, you know, the Wisconsin organization. But I guess for him, he just felt like you're already ahead in this one. And now you're trying to set it up to possibly go up even more, I guess. But yeah, I don't think so. I really think that part of the college experience and learning is there's still a lot to learn, right? There's still a lot of teaching. I mean, you were just talking about Tara. She's constantly teaching, you know, she's constantly bringing her players over and teaching. So that's part of why they're there.
Have you had an experience like that, Krista, at the end of a game? You were a great player at Evansville. I see your jersey in the background. You're a Hall of Famer. At the end of a game where, hey, shaking hands, you were too pissed to do it.
Well, I was only thrown out of one game. I don't know if that's really a good answer. Yeah. You know, I had a bit of, I was quite a competitor, Dave. I would say that I was pretty competitive, and I had a bit of a temper. I was probably a little overly competitive. I would say I was probably one of those players you'd rather have on your team than to play against. And as I look back now, I've probably mellowed quite a bit compared to my playing days.
Now, what'd you do to get thrown out?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there was just a lot of you know, jibber jabber on the court between me and another player. We both got thrown out, I don't know if it makes any difference. Probably a push. I can't remember if I pushed her or she pushed me first, but there was definitely a push, a shove. No major swings. So luckily that it didn't get to that point, but a couple of pushes and that was all it took. And a little bit of talking going on, and I'm sure, but that was the only one. Only takes one. And then you like realize
it's
you don't want that.
You hear somebody uses the phrase jibber jabber. You don't see them getting thrown out of games.
Right. Exactly.
You don't think of jibber jabber badass. You know, they're not right. The same right. sentence very often. Hey, what about the whole notion? Some folks say, hey, that just shows you have to get rid of the handshake line. That's just, you know, emotions are hot. I mean, what do you think?
You know, I think that it's becoming such a business now, and it is a business now that it's different in that the pressures are very different than being sportsmanlike, right? And you know, you're supposed to be a good sport. Somebody's going to win the game and somebody's going to lose the game, right? And that if you can't, you know, and it's just, I just remember an athletic director of mine saying, you know, you can't be so hard on yourself if you miss a shot. If you're willing to take the shot, it's either going to go in or it's not. If you can't handle those odds, then you shouldn't take the shot. And I guess if you can't handle the odds of you might lose this game also, then maybe you shouldn't be part of it. You know, I think that we ought to be able to fist pump or shake hands and respect what an opponent's capable of doing, maybe better than you were capable of doing that day. Easier said than done. I think it's just different times. You know, I think when all of that started, it was definitely still a game and maybe the stakes weren't quite as high as they are now.
Right. You think that the folks that would be able to handle that would be the coaches rather than the players?
You know. You would think, but yeah. A lot of these coaches now are former players and, you know, some of the best coaches weren't always great players. You know, I think they might have a little different demeanor about them, you know, and it's not to say that a former player can't be a coach, but Juwan Howard was quite the competitor from what I remember anyway of his playing time at Michigan. So
I just thought of you being the player that the team loves, but everybody hates. And the one guy I think of watching basketball, because we've been in the same games recently at St. Mary's, Logan Johnson. Mm-hmm. Who's a little fire plug and scrappy competitor for St. Mary's. What do you think of the Gaels in general, and do they have a shot at home against mighty Gonzaga on Saturday?
I think they absolutely do. I think it is quite interesting that is their final regular season game, and it's at St. Mary's. You know, if you're going to get it done, that's where you're going to get it done. And I mean, Gonzaga is a machine and they are well oiled. They are clicking on all cylinders, but you know, you never know. And when you get to Moraga and those fans get into it, they are crazy. They are diehards. It's advantage Gales. That's for sure. Just by being on their home floor. And I think they have a chance. I think they have good depth and they have to play a very clean, they have to play their best game, right? They have to play a clean, solid game, but wow, to be there, you're going to be there, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I know. I'll be watching. That's for sure.
What did you think of Tommy Cousy? Because I swapped some notes with you. I said, hey, this guy, you know, grew up loving Steve Nash, and this will be for you as you watch him play. And then you had a chance to do that game on television.
Yeah. I mean, what you said made complete sense when you watch him. I mean, Tommy Cousy looks like he's like an eighth year senior. First of all, he's just a veteran player. He's so calm and cool. He's got every little crossover, dribble, move, you name it. I mean, he just reminds me so much of Steve Nash. When you said that, it's hard to not even say it since he's from the same area, you know, as Steve Nash growing up. And wow. And it's paying off for him quite nicely too. He's really something, really exceptional.
The WCC Player of the Week, he had 22 against USF and then 25 in the win over BYU last time out. So,
and Dave, it doesn't matter if he's off the bench or he's starting. Like, it just doesn't matter. And it's not just his scoring, although he can score almost, it feels like, anytime he wants to. But it's everything else, rebounding and steals and assists. I mean, he's like a potential quadruple-double guy, it seems like. I mean, he can do just about everything. It's really something, really fun to watch.
You said eighth-year senior, really sixth, but he's been around so long. Right. He's been a part of three presidential administrations.
Wow.
He's been there. If you think about it, it's pretty amazing. The end of Obama, all of Trump, and now Joe Biden. So that's a guy's been around to see everything.
He's a tenured player, that's for sure.
Yeah, grizzled veteran. Hey, yeah. Crystal, what about you in terms of, I haven't talked to you in an interview setting since before you were going to the Olympics and had a chance to work the Summer Games. What about that experience? What was it like for you? And I saw that you were adding sports during the assignment, which must have been a real challenge.
It was. It was definitely a test of my strength and ability to do what I do. It was an incredible challenge, but you know, you get in that scenario and it's like, you just have to do it. And sometimes it's that adrenaline and that, I mean, there was a lot of adrenaline and a lot of caffeine too, but just an amazing experience to work with the Olympians as your analysts and just their knowledge and their love of their sport. I mean, you couldn't help but be excited in watching and prepping and getting ready because they are so into it and so excited about it and explaining it. And you get an understanding of what it must take to even think that you could get to that point, you know, and just so many highs and lows and an incredible experience, just absolutely phenomenal. I had such a fun time. And you get into a scenario where they call you and say, hey, you got to come call this. And you're just, your brains go and go and go. And, you know, and you're just a cram fest and relying on a bunch of other stat people to help you out and give you some info and get you there. So
what were the sports they were throwing at you in the last, minute or so?
Yeah. There was shooting. There was some shooting competition. So rifle or handgun, there were different ones, different types. And that was part of the challenge also was that the main primary analyst had a specialty in maybe a different type of shooting. And so you're trying to figure out, okay, what are the rules in this gold medal match or whatever it might be, you know? Shooting was definitely one. There was some race walking that was thrown in, men's and women's, which is kind of that speed walking. And that was really fun. And that was added on as well. I had a day of fencing, but mostly it was the extra shooting. The extra shooting was added in and then to go with the judo and a couple of single days of canoe slalom. And, that was really interesting and really fun too. So, but
what sources do you access, Krista, to prepare for those?
Well, you know, Google search is your friend. That's for sure. Pronunciation guide and pronunciation site. There's a site called Forvo and you just kept crossing your fingers when you hit enter that name, that person's name and what country your options were to see where the pronunciation would be. You would Google video to just see if maybe a prior match or an event where maybe there was a PA announcer that would say someone's name so you could get an idea. And there was a lot of last second Google searching for a lot of these events. And then they, NBC had a fabulous site as well, where they, you could go in and they would have bio information, a lot of the team information, and some had more information than others, but anything you could go into and search, you would jump in and search it. But but a lot of that didn't become available until the day or the day before that I actually got there, you know, so you're jumping on that site and pulling as much info as you can. So it was a challenge.
You did a great job. I'm sure you made everybody in Tell City proud.
Thank you.
We blew up last time. Last time we talked, Twitter exploded from Tell City with all the love. And I know folks even did a story on you on television and newspaper. Yeah. So it all started with us chatting. What's it been like to get all the love from back home?
It's just great. It's great to reconnect with so many friends, but it's also been fun to connect with people that I knew their name or I knew of them, but maybe didn't know them that well, but to kind of connect with some of my mom's friends or some of my sister's friends or, you know, other age groups of friends too. And so it's been fun to kind of reconnect with them and hear from them. And they definitely were following. I got so many messages, you know, across the board in so many different ways. You name social media and I got a message, you know, but it's fun, you know, it's fun. Cause I don't get to go back there quite as much as I wish. It's not right around the corner. It's not easy to get back there. So, so when I do, I can, I do when I can, but great to hear from everybody. Thank goodness for technology, at least for that anyway.
Yeah. You know, you're fun. Hey, what are your plans for March?
Plans for March, which is right around the corner, as I am trying to just stay in one day at a time.
Well, I asked because we were setting this up. He said, hey, we need to do it pretty soon because I'm going to be really busy for a few weeks. So what are you doing?
Well, you know, we're getting ready to hit conference tournament time. I will head to Las Vegas and I will be covering the Pac-12 women's tournament. And then I will jump straight into the Mountain West women's tournament. And then this year, for the first time, I will go from that tournament to the Big West women's tournament. So I'm going to be covering three different conference tournaments, which is going to be exciting and pretty exhausting too. I just have to try to keep the teams and the conferences straightened in my brain. But then after that, I will kick in a little bit of college softball before I jump into the NCAA tournament. And then I'll do NCAA tournament for Westwood One Radio. I'll jump on there and start covering the tournament. And I'm thankful and happy that it looks like as of now, we'll be able to be on site, which we were not able to do last year. And then the year before did not even have a tournament. So happy to be having to think about all of this travel, I guess, you know, just thrilled that it's there.
You are on fire. Proud of you.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It'll be April. I'll blink and it'll be April. And I'll say, what happened in March?
I'll be sure to update that. Hey, before we went on, you were messing around with the dog, right?
Yeah.
In the background.
She's right here. Come here.
Who is that?
My little pistol. This is Charlie. She likes to hang out down here with me sometimes. I can't get her. She's little. Oh. Hang on. Get
show me that little.
Give her a little FaceTime. She kind of needs a grooming, but say hello.
So do I.
I know. So do I. So do I. I usually coordinate hers with mine. What I need is a hairstylist that will do mine and hers in the same day. That would help me out a lot.
Hey, so where'd you get Charlie?
I got her, you know what? She is from Indiana, believe it or not. I had a boxer for many, many years that I'd gotten when I was in California. And she's a little bit, you know, boxer's a little bit bigger dogs, a little trickier. And friends of mine had said, you've got to check out this breed, this Havanese breed. They're really a cool dog from what they've heard. And then one of my friends in Indiana said, hey, I was driving down the road. I saw this sign for a Havanese breeder. It just meant to be, like, do you want me to get a puppy? You know, want me to reserve this puppy? And I thought, I don't know. And they're like, well, I'll take care of it. You know, my friends in the Bay at the time where I lived, oh, we'll take care of it when you travel. You know, they don't shed, all these fun things. So I'm like, all right. So anyway, she's a Hoosier. She's a Hoosier by in here, but now she's traveling around wherever I go. So now
oh, really?
She's spoiled.
Yeah. Lucky to have you.
Yeah. She's fun. She keeps me moving. She expects her walks every day, Dave. So it's good for me too.
You're a good dog mom. I always tell people that have rescue dogs, I say that the rescue dogs rescue us.
I know. You know, and I'm a big fan of that. I am. I think about that and I've thought about that. And I thought that would probably be the direction that I would go you know, that next time that I got a dog. And I just ended up with this one. I think I rescued her. We're the breeder. She's very cute and she has all her papers, but we keep saying we may have kind of saved her from wherever this breeder was. But anyway, I got her from Indiana, and she's a good one. She thinks she's big dog and she likes to hike and she doesn't mind the snow. So it's a win-win. I can't go wrong.
Hey, you're a good one too. I really appreciate your time, Kristen. I'll be following your travels in March, and please keep in touch. You're the best.
Thank you. I will. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy. It was great being able to see you in person. It was like shock to the system when you get to actually see people. So it was fun seeing you recently, and thanks for having me on.
That's superstar broadcaster Krista Blunk. You can subscribe to The Dave Lubis Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Your positive comments, the 5-star reviews are huge. They certainly mean a lot. And we thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.